Decatur, Dallas, Fort Worth, and on 91.3 KYJC Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, do you have an outstanding recall on your car and maybe not even know it? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. It is Friday. It is the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money, and Tony Joe is here in studio to chat about all kinds of things today. We're going to cover a lot of different topics. However, if you want to join in on the program, 877-913-5357, 1-877-913-5357. 5357. If you don't want to call in, you're always welcome to go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. Send a question in or go to info@prudentmoney.com and send a question in. Whatever works best for you. And we'll get you taken care of. That's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. 1-877-913-5357. Well, it looks like you survived the bad weather last night. You look intact.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was in the back in your backyard, wasn't it?
Well, it was kind of in my backyard. Yeah, it was a swath all the way up to Grayson County. So,
were you at home at the time, or were you?
No, I was in Dallas at my business, but and really we didn't get anything. It started north of Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. There, it was really weird, like where we live. It was all around us, but not on our house at all.
Did you get any hail? Mm, or
no,
anything?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Well, it was a close call, and let's hope it stays that way for the rest of the season, because we're just entering
tornado season. In fact, aren't we a little bit early for a hail like that?
Well, March, April, and May is the tornadic season, but you know we've seen. Really bad storms. Seems like later in the month, like the April, towards the end of April and maybe into the middle of May, that's when it seems like it, to me, over the years that I've, it seems like that's the worst part of it. So, you know, getting it anytime from March to May is not unusual.
Hail that big, though. They were talking about baseball size hail. I mean, that could. I've seen the aftermath of something like that, and that can total out a car.
Do you know?
Right.
The criteria for baseball size hail is 2¾ inches.
Wow.
And can you imagine that? You know what it does to a car? It smashes all the windows, puts dents in it. What if it hits you in the head? Hope you're wearing a hat.
Yeah,
you know, because
no, that's
you probably don't want to be out in that stuff.
No, not at all. So you didn't get to see how black it turned outside, or
I was kind of watching it. Yeah, I did see it turn dark.
Your shop's not that far from your house, right?
Yeah, about 11 miles.
Okay,
but
yeah.
That's what I mean. It was so localized. It just skirted north of Dallas, and it. Because, you know, I have to worry about cars and the cars in my possession and getting
right.
them inside so they don't get hailed on. But it just never hit Dallas. So,
do you have that much room in your garage to pull up the number of cars that you do have?
Yeah, you have to kind of, you'd be surprised, Bob, how quick you can make room if you have to. I mean, a car is...
So do you have you have a particular time and you say, if things haven't gotten better by this
exactly.
time, we're going to pull all the cars
exactly.
in.
Exactly. I'm watching the weather from the morning I get there, and I'm seeing how things develop, and I'm like, well, boys, we better start thinking about getting some of these cars in here, because, you know, it's not... I'm not obligated to, but I don't want anybody's car to get hailed on, you know,
right.
including my own, but... There was a point where, you know, you can only put so many cars in the shop and the rest of them. So.
I remember back in the 70s, my dad had this old Bonneville. And it was after school, and a buddy of mine, we're in high school, He'd just gotten a brand new 280ZX or whatever it was back then. And so I said, and it was supposed to hail. The weather was getting really bad. And I said, let me move my dad's car out of the garage. You put your car in the garage until this hail passes. My dad was so mad. And I said, Dad, but look at all the money I made you, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's something that's... You brought up a good point real quick. You know, hail damage, if it's not too bad and it just puts dents in the metal of the car and doesn't break any windows or anything, you know, a lot of people don't realize you can actually get a settlement for that.
Right.
And you don't have to fix it. It depends on how bad it is and does it bother you that much. So it's kind of interesting the way that works with hail. It's, you know, they have a paintless dent repair now for hail damage where they can pop the dents out or most of them without having to paint the car or do anything like that. So it's all kind of technology that people have at their disposal now for hail. Of course, the best thing, if you want to know just a few things that I've been aware of over the years that maybe people don't think about, the best thing you can do is not get your car exposed to hail. But what if you're out there and you don't have a lot of choices? Well, there is a couple of things you can do. Number one, you can try to find covered parking in a business parking lot or a commercial building or something like that. That's always a possibility, you know, duck out of the storm for a while and sit under one of the covered parking areas, and if it starts to hail, you're safe. But if you have no other option, I have noticed that the hail normally is going to come from the west, and it's going to travel east. So if you are near a big building and there's no covered parking available, if you get on the east side of the building, Bob, think about this. You get on the east side of the building, and the building is 8 stories tall. Pull right up to a parking spot on the east side of the building. I've seen it over and over and always thought this would be a good idea. I've never had to do it, but if I did, I sure would. The wind kind of blows from the west, and the hail kind of comes from the west. So depending on how heavy the hail is, a lot of it will blow over the top of the building and come down on the other side, but it leaves this vacuum. It leaves this void where you can park a car in there, a car length, easy.
Right.
And so the hail will fall, and you're not covered, but by the time the hail travels over the building and falls down the other side, you may not get hit with it. And that's just a tiny little trick that I've often noticed when I watch hail, but I'm always inside somewhere. Most of the time I'm not in it. But, you know, I've noticed if you could do that, that would work. You could do that.
Well, it's better to try something.
Well, right. And if you have no options, that's just something you can do in an emergency situation, just to put it out there to people.
You know, I was thinking the other day about recalls.
Mm-hmm.
And we had... I just remember last year how much we were talking about recalls because there was just so many of them. So, and you're a better judge of this than I am because you're right in the thick of it. Are we seeing as many recalls and it's just not getting the advertising and the marketing, or has car design and functionality gotten better?
I would have to tell you that the recalls are about as bad as they ever were.
Really?
And yes. And I've noticed something else about the recalls, and that is that the Honda Motor Company is recalling, 500,000 vehicles for really dangerous stuff. You know, like, it's not the...
This is recent?
Well, yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
It's pretty recent.
I can't remember exactly, but I've noticed that the recalls can be for engines that might blow. Now, I don't mean literally blow. I don't mean that. I mean
Right. Engines
that might go bad.
Uh-huh. Well, still,
and if you're driving down the road 70 miles an hour and your engine just ceases to operate, that can be pretty dangerous. And then you have things like don't park in the garage until you can get it in for the recall notice because it could just start on fire. That was a Hyundai recall that's still going on right now. So these recalls are not for little tiny things. These are massive recalls, and sometimes for pretty dangerous things that can happen. So it used to be recalls were, the seatbelts, you know, the Takata seatbelt thing, remember that, where, you know, you had problems with them, and they may or may not go off, and they may or may not work when you have a crash, and they recalled lots of them. But those things are dangerous, of course, but not quite as bad as having your car just light up in the middle of the night in your garage, and then there goes the house, too.
So, we used to talk years ago, we used to talk about the situation, Takata, right?
Takata airbags, uh-huh.
So whatever happened to that company? Did they survive? And
yes, what happened is, if you remember, they had a big shortage of airbag supply due to the big recalls that they had to fess up to and make right. So in the meantime, what they did was, since there wasn't too many new cars and not enough airbags, they started using the same defective airbags in some of the new cars because they needed something to put in the cars so they could get the cars off the showroom floor. Well, in essence, they planned on doing this, and then they were going to recall them in a couple of years because the science was indicating that they didn't really cause any problems till they were 5 or 6 years old, and it had to be in really humid locations like Florida and stuff. So
I remember that.
They said, well,
I hope that all works out for you.
Yeah, they're going to use the airbags, even though we know they're defective. Then we're going to call them back. They're going to have a recall, and then we're going to replace the known defective ones with good ones. And I know they implemented that plan, and I guess that's what they did, and I guess they're recalling them slowly but surely.
Hey, what could go wrong? This is Bob Brooks. You are listening to the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. We're up against a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
Do you live each day fully committed to the truth? Or is there some dishonesty, deceit, or hypocrisy in your life? These are tough, convicting questions. Monday on The Verdict, we're continuing our study of the Ten Commandments by learning how to build a life based on truth. I'm John Monroe. I hope you'll join us Monday on The Verdict.
The Verdict, weekday mornings at 10:30, here on Bible School Radio, KDKR.
Dr. Charles Stanley.
The only way that God can justify, declare no longer guilty, one who is guilty is because and through the death of his son who paid sin's penalty on the cross once and for all.
The teaching of Dr. Charles Stanley on In Touch, helping you grow in Christ every day.
In Touch, weekdays at 12:30, here on KDKR.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. 1-877-913-5357. Tony Joe is here to take your questions. If you have a question, just give us a call. We'll love to talk to you. 1-877-913-5357. Back to that Takata story, one of the things I wanted to point out is that they were, if you remember correctly, they were the airbag producer in
pretty much the biggest
in the world,
right?
They
were the biggest in the world and had 99% of the market.
And so you had all these airbags failing, right?
Yes, that's why we need to have competition, in my opinion. Which
oh, my gosh.
We don't have, but,
yeah.
You know, it's that way with medications and everything in life.
Right.
We just don't have the competition that I think we should have, because competition makes everybody better. And, of course, when you have a supply chain problem, you know, if there's other manufacturers, then they can jump in there, and which some did, Bob. Takata did have some help with some smaller airbag manufacturers. But still, it was a big fiasco at the time. It was something we've never faced before.
So did Congress ever put the, did this ever go up in front of Congress as far as splitting them up or anything like that?
I don't know if they had any lobbyists in there promoting that or not, but I know that we see this stuff and we talk about it and we go, wow, that's incredible, Takata airbags. Well, you know what? It's something we've never had to deal with before, so we should learn by that, I think.
But,
including me. I've been around a long time. I've never seen such failure rates on so many big companies that seem to just, now what do we do? Especially, I don't like, things like one manufacturer will make the same part and use it in several, say, GM cars. Well, now all the GM cars that had that one particular part are going to have to be recalled. So why don't they just, you know, try to diversify? You know, you always say diversify, you know. Keep
mm-hmm, right.
Well, I mean, Goga's pretty good. I think that business model would work in the automotive industry, too.
So you're saying it's as bad as it's ever been. And what's interesting to me is it's not like I've stopped looking at news resources or cut back. And I literally have hardly seen anything this year. And it makes me wonder if they're just kind of skating by. They're getting enough, just the very lowest level of information they have to announce, and keeping it as low as possible. I don't know. I'm just kind of the conclusion
a good point. You brought up a good point. You have to dig harder now.
Yeah, you do.
You can go to the DOT website and punch in your VIN number if you just ever want to know.
Yeah, you can go to recall.gov.
And you would be surprised.
Right.
Like your car, the one that you drive right now, whoever's listening, go to the website and see how many recalls really existed on your vehicle.
So you take
I'm amazed
sometimes. You take your car to the dealership, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they fix it. Doesn't cost you anything.
Correct. If it's a recall, right.
So any situations where the problem that they're having could be debatable, whether it's
many times, yeah.
Many times.
And you know what else? Along with that, let me just say that along with the recall notice, and you take it in for the legitimate recall, and even when they do the recall, I've had a lot of customers complain about, then they found $33,000 worth of other problems that need immediate attention. So you got to be strong and you got to stand up for yourself, and all you want is the recall airbag replaced or whatever recall notification was called for on your mailbox, then just have that done. And try not to fall for all the other stuff that may try to sell you.
It's the same type of, it's the old marketing trick in the book.
Yeah, get them in
the books. Get them into the dealership.
Right.
Get the car away from the consumer. Let us take a look at it and point out everything that's wrong with it. And it's funny, that never dawned on me that would actually be taking place.
Right. But keep in mind, I am not saying all dealers do this.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I'm just telling you that in my experience with other customers that have gone through this, it does happen. And then they come back with this list of things, and I look at it, and I'm like, yeah, a lot of this stuff is questionable whether it really even needs to be done right now. So I'm not saying all dealers do that. There's a lot of good dealers
as well as bad dealers. And I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Usually we always say that and make sure that people knows we're not intentionally pointing the finger at a dealership, so, and all dealerships are alike. It's like my business, you get the people who look out for the customer and the client, and people who don't, your business, same thing. 1-877-913-5357. Once again, that is a recall.gov. And Tony Joe brings up a great point that if you're going to go through that process, just know that you may get presented with a bill that says you need to replace these particular parts. You know, all they got to do is just take care of what you came in there for, and then you can go and you can take your car to your mechanic, unless it is the dealership. It might be the dealership. It may be that you've got a great relationship there and they can fix things, but it may not be. So
Well, your advice is
not to be afraid to say, hey, just fix the car and I'll take it elsewhere.
And remember, we've always stood by this motto, and that is, if you get a huge estimate and you're not really sure, then you always, whether it's, it doesn't have to be anybody in particular, it doesn't have to be me or anybody else, but get another opinion. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're faced with $4,000 worth of repairs on 8 different items on your car, then it would behoove you to get another opinion, and let's see if both mechanics agree that you need all this stuff. And that's just a good standard operating procedure to go by.
So let's go. Let me give you an example. Say that someone had to get their car because it wasn't running. Mm-hmm. Had to get it towed to you. You roll it up there into the garage, and you take a look at it. You're the first mechanic, and it's a $3,000 or $4,000 bill. So to get the second, do you suggest that they tow the car? I mean,
well, no.
Is there a better way to go about doing that? You know, say, given this particular situation, talking to another mechanic, what do you think you would charge? Not to hold you to it, but what do you think it would cost? Is that how you would do it?
Certainly. Like anything else, when you have to have it towed in and it can't be driven, obviously you can't take it physically to another mechanic to have a second opinion. What you can do is call. You know, when you want to find a better deal on something, you shop. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can call several different repair facilities and just ask them if this makes sense. Or, like, I tell people a lot of times, if you're somewhere and you tell you something and your instincts don't really, you feel funny, go around the corner and just call me and tell me what they're saying. At least I can tell you, does that even make sense? Does it sound like that could be the problem? And if so, does that about how much it costs to fix? There's nothing wrong with getting as much information as you can. Obviously, you can't drive it somewhere, so you're going to have to call around and do a little shopping and see what kind of opinion you get, because you'd be surprised sometimes when somebody calls me out of the blue and I don't know them, and the dealership is telling them this, or not necessarily even a dealership. It could be just another shop. Well, I go, well, that doesn't make sense. Can you give me some more information? Can you send me the paperwork, email it to me? Let me see what they're talking about. Because a lot of times a customer can't always convey.
Oh, yeah. That's,
exactly. Because they're not supposed to be able, they're not mechanics. They can't talk the lingo. They don't know exactly what they're being told. But you can always seek help. You know, you can always, somebody will help you. You just email them the paperwork and see if it makes sense.
You know, say, add to that, because experience would cause you to maybe look at it a totally different way and fix it and go a different route than somebody who may not have as much experience. So you could get two totally different looks at the same problem.
Yeah, you could. And that's another factor that we have to take in to consider, because we're all human. But, I mean, you know, Bob, the thing is, you got to be, there's so many resources today. You can even get online and see if your instincts are telling you something different, or you're not comfortable with the answers you're getting. You can do so much research, and if you come to a cement wall and you just don't understand and you just can't figure it out and you don't know if this is the right thing or the wrong thing, call around. Some other mechanics will talk to you. They'll be glad to at least give you their opinion from what they know, what they're hearing you tell them, what it sounds like, does it make sense, is the cost about right? Because it costs a lot more to have your car towed out of a dealership or any place and then have it repaired somewhere else, because now you've got the cost of the towing, you've got possible different opinions. It's just can be
sure
a mess.
This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.